Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com.
Searching for something to put a smile back on your face. Just remembering unusual times that can come from an unusual place. You need a partner for the ride, 'cause everybody needs a Clyde. So set your worries to the side. Just ask, say the word. Pretend I got a hand I can lend, 'cause when you really need a friend, just ask. Shit 90 Shows taught me.
Shit 90 Shows taught me was not filmed before a live studio audience.
Are you ready to slay another day? So are we. Welcome back to Shit 90 Shows taught me. I'm Jess Sterling, here with my co-host Sarah Ferguson. Sarah, how are you?
Jess, did I ever tell you the time that I went to uni in Oxford?
Please tell me more about when you went to uni at Oxford.
Well, I was a history major, you know.
Of course. Naturally.
My specialty was history of pirates. It was
history
great.
Of pirates. Okay.
Sometimes it was a little boring, though. I had a hard time with my studies. I didn't like studying. In fact, I didn't study at all. What I was interested in was my nighttime activities. And it wasn't just the sex cult. It was also learning about the occult, you know? And I just had so much fun learning about the magics, a little black magics.
We love black magics here.
But one day I said Bloody Mary in the mirror three times.
No!
I did. Yeah, it was just something that we did.
No.
And then I was overtaken by the spirit of Bloody Mary.
Wow.
And
how did you get rid of her?
That sweet tattoo as well.
Oh, that's where your Pisces tattoo came from.
It was the occult of the Pisces.
That's Everyone was like, you have to get your astrological sign tattooed on you. That's how you become a member of the cult.
That was part of it. Yeah. So now that you know my secrets, I am going to force you to be part of my cult too. My occult cult.
Oh, no. Will we turn into goo after? Because I'd rather not.
We are only goo. We're 100%.
Oh, actually, we're already goo?
We're sea gook.
Oh, yes. We are 100% sea gook at this point.
We're just sea gook, yeah. And you need to have, like, a cool occult name. So I'm going to call you the stripper.
That's the cool occult name?
That's your name, yeah.
That's the coolest name you could come up with?
Well, I just feel like it's fitting for you.
Is it like Ripper, but with an ST on the beginning of it?
Yeah, it just means that you're a slut.
Oh, great. Welcome to the podcast, everyone.
And this is my secret
your dark
backstory. My dark meth past.
Yeah. Well, speaking of darkness, this is the Dark Ages, season 2, episode 8. And I was really surprised that we got so much more Giles backstory so soon. I thought we were gonna have to wait like at least like halfway through the season, you know,
before we were going to have to wait at least 2 episodes. It didn't happen. I mean, like, I enjoyed this. I took notes, so I dropped my notes. My post-its, I have like these like big post-its, they're like, I don't know, like 4x6, something like that. They are getting in use, and I wrote down notes so that I can refer back to them. I'm taking my job seriously here.
Wow.
Yeah.
I know. I was actually thinking about the other day when we were having trouble like remembering about Angel's Curse and stuff. I'm like, I probably should have like lore notes at the very least because it gets a little confusing. Luckily, I feel like this episode is like fairly straightforward enough in terms of what's going on. But exciting nonetheless, because I really didn't think that we were going to get Ethan showing up so soon. Ethan Rain.
Ethan's pretty cool. I like Ethan. He's kind of like a fuckery guy, and I love fuckery.
Well, the best part is that we have, it's seemingly two big bads this season. You know what I mean? Like, yes, we're concerned about Drusilla and Spike. Obviously, they're big baddies. But then when they have their down moments, you know, because they got to sleep and they got to fuck and they got to do other shit, then we focus on Ethan Rain, who's like Giles's frenemy, like, you know, what is it called when you have like a mortal enemy? Is that what it's called? When you have like someone who is just like, who you hate forever, you know?
Yeah, I don't even know if Ethan is that. I think that we were closer in regards to like the Dumbledore Grindelwald thing. Like they were partners in crime until the crime
and in bed
and in probably in bed. Until like it became bigger than them and they had to like escape it, because
it seems like
they were friends for a long time, but then they both got this like tattoo shit and it all like went wild and crazy. They're also, I think, the people that started this like summoning the demon. So
yeah,
they're definitely partners in crime. But I think that it, I don't know if like he hates him, because I just think that he represents like a darker time in his life. And
yeah,
maybe Ethan was less interested in trying to fix it. But then also it seems as though they thought that they had killed the demon. We'll get there when eventually. But very interesting episode. More of course with Ms. Callender, who was kind of like, I don't know, like I don't really like how the story ended with this episode with Ms. Callender.
Yeah, it's a little questionable as to like, are Giles and Ms. Callender still going to be a thing going forward? Like, obviously she's going to associate him with like this super traumatic situation she was involved in. But yeah,
I mean, once again, we'll talk about it later, but like she signed up for this shit. You know what I mean? Like she knew what it meant by getting involved with Giles and Buffy and the whole crew. And
right,
I don't know. You don't see like Xander being a whiny bitch for being taken over by the pack.
I think that it's maybe different to like, oh, I'm going to get into hijinks and shenanigans and like going to be in danger. And then to actually have a demon consume your body, it's just like a whole other animal.
Look, I don't have that problem. Like I've never experienced it, but everybody's going to be taken over by some entity at some point.
And Ms. Callender, yes, of course,
has to either, I mean, I guess she's deciding that she can't ride along. She can't.
Yeah, you're in or you're out. Everyone's going to have a traumatic experience at some point on the show. And if you can't handle it, if you can't handle the heat, get out of the kitchen, get out of the library. You know,
I just thought that she had more ability to withstand the heat. She is a techno pagan after all.
She is. She is a techno pagan. And it kind of sucks because I did view her as like, I felt like it was nice to have another adult for like Giles to hang out with, because he's just hanging out with teenagers literally all the time. And he seemed to really, really care for her. So we'll get into all of that. But anyway, yeah, we're talking about season 2, episode 8, The Dark Age. And so we start off with this man in a briefcase. He's looking for Giles. He's trying to enter in through like the back entrance to the library. Out of nowhere, there's like this zombie looking lady. And he seems to know her, and she comes up and she's like, oh my God, it was so gross, Sarah. Like her, I don't know, something about this, the way they did the costuming and everything, I thought it was really well done. Like she looked nasty.
So gross, especially her hands. That really grossed me out.
Yes.
Yeah. I'm sorry, Deirdre, that you're ugly as fuck.
Yeah.
It's like, if I'm going to be dead, then I just don't want to be ugly.
She's, yeah, and she's kind of both, right? So
yeah, she's dead and ugly. And yeah, the guy is trying to ask Giles for help, but Buffy has her aerobicizing music on too loud.
She's doing her calisthenics, and Giles is the epitome of the old man who screams, "Get off my lawn," because he says that it's not music, it's just noise.
I like the beat. Sometimes I'm so strange. Like, you know how people, when they study or they're doing work, need to listen to like little like coffee house vibes music.
Mm-hmm.
I need to listen to like Sandstorm. Like, I need to listen to like techno, like loud beat music
while you're like working. To concentrate. Like,
yeah,
what?
It like That's helps opposite. Me. Jeez. No, it helps.
See,
me.
I could see that for like. Because I think I'm more of the common listen to, if you want to work out or whatever, you listen to something like very like with a heavy beat that's like fast paced. And like if you're trying to calm down or focus.
Yeah.
I definitely wouldn't be listening to techno music.
No. But. See, dance vibes for concentration. I have.
Dance vibes for concentration.
That's my playlist. Yeah.
Did you name it or did Spotify name it?
No, I named it. I'm basically AI.
Oh,
and
okay.
It's all like techno, like remixes of popular songs. Like I think I need the over stimulation to help me concentrate.
Mm-hmm. I'm the opposite of that, like to the point where if there are times when I'll be watching TV with my husband and I will have to, like, he will start talking and I'll be like, I'm sorry, hold on for 1 second. And I have to like either mute the TV or like pause it or whatever, because I cannot concentrate if like two things are happening at once.
I need like 8 distractions.
My brain is 8 distractions
long. Yeah, it sounds like it.
Yeah. But yeah, so Giles obviously cannot hear this man named Philip, who is like trying to get in from outside as a result. And Deidre just like chokes him out and then punches him. And then weirdly, she just like disintegrates into like a pool of blue goo, which touches Philip, which becomes important for later.
Yeah. Yeah. Don't touch the sea gook. That's rule number one.
Exactly. Never touch the sea gook. It's dangerous.
It's dangerous. Yeah. Yeah. I was pretty entertained by all this. I was like, oh, this is weird. Like the gook, like she turns into, I forget what 90s show this reminds me of, but I feel like I've seen people turn into gook before.
Oh, I can tell you what it reminds me of. And what's I don't know that? If this is the reference you're thinking of, probably not. But in Terminator 2, this was like a big thing where they like melted into this like silver goo and then could like squeeze through small things, you know?
Maybe that could be it. I don't know. People loved goo in the 90s. This
you might
the
just
year...
be thinking of slime, like from Nick at Night and stuff. Or
this
Nick,
is just the year of GAC. GAC. Yeah. So we see Giles wake up from a series of bad dreams. We see a bunch of imagery of like, I don't know, demon faces and tattoos and like other like faces that we don't really recognize. And he wakes up in a panic.
And... Yeah. And we do get to see a little bit of a flash of his bedroom, which looks pretty old timey, if I'm being honest. Like, it looks pretty like he's like a 65-year-old man.
Well, I mean, I think he's an appreciator of antiques, it seems. He goes to the Antique Roadshow and he's like, the bed is $300. He goes, I will pay you $175, and they settle on $200.
Maybe this is why him and Miss Calendar don't work out, because she wants to go to monster truck rallies and he wants to go antiquing.
Absolutely.
Never the two shall meet. Is that the saying?
Yeah. Have you ever been antiquing before?
No, I've been to like an antique store, but I'm not. Yeah. Like I wouldn't thrive. I wouldn't know what to look for. I don't know. I'm not good at, what is it like bargaining and, you know, bartering with people.
Yeah.
No, I don't know. I'm sure you have been antiquing before.
Yeah, of course. I enjoy looking at old crusty things. But his house is so interesting because we'll see his front door later, and it looked like very substantial, that door. But then we see the rest of his house. I'm like, is this an apartment? I have no idea what kind of facility
he has to be in an apartment, based on the fact that, like, when Buffy was knocking on his door, she wasn't, like, outside. You know, it looked like she was inside.
Poor Giles is a watcher, and he can't even afford to have his own house.
Obviously, being a watcher doesn't pay very much.
No,
or and being a honestly, librarian doesn't pay very much.
No, and I think that this nepotism watcher shit is honestly a crime against humanity. It seems like a ripoff.
I agree with that. So we go to school, and Willow and Buffy are sitting and just chatting. Buffy always has these like the most 90s sunglasses. And they're playing a game of anywhere but here, Sarah.
This game is my sort of game. This is cooler than MASH. This game, so basically you have to create a picture in your mind and describe a place and with like things that you're doing and people that you want to be with. That's like what you would want to do that's anywhere but here. And of course, Jessica and I are going to play this game.
Of course.
Because I don't want to be here right now. I don't want to be podcasting.
Okay, where do you want to be?
Okay. I'm closing my eyes. Mm-hmm. I am picturing a tropical / beachy vacation. I'm thinking like the Bora Bora tiki huts on water vibe. And I'm laying out feet in the water. I have like 3 margaritas. I have chips and salsa and maybe some guac. And then like this like hot pool boy comes around with like a plate of fries and like sriracha mayo.
I'm in on this now with the
you're not there.
Oh, I'm not there. Okay, it's fine.
Yeah, it's just me.
Yep, just you.
But then, yeah, but then, like, eventually Adam can come, and then we have a good night, if you know what I mean.
Everyone knows what you mean. Yeah. Everyone knows.
Yeah, I know. But, yeah, I want to be in a beachy vacation. I want to have my sun-kissed, like, summer burn, and I want, like, my margaritas with salt.
Okay.
That's what I want.
Okay. Sounds nice.
Yeah. You can come a little bit, but not much.
Okay. I'll stop by briefly.
Yeah, just make
it. But I want my margaritas with sugar on the rim, not salt.
Okay. Okay. So where do you want to be?
Okay. I want to be in Santorini in Greece. I want to go back though, because it's so gorgeous. Okay. I want it to be a very specific weather. Okay. I want it to be like mid 70s, sunny, but not too hot. I want to be under an umbrella in the shade. Mm. I want to be eating a traditional Greek salad, because literally so good. So, so, so good.
I forgot you're an olive girl.
I love olives. I do. I love olives. Wild. And then I want like a Greek wrap as well with like tzatziki on it. Yes. I want to be drinking, let's see. I think I want to start with like a nice seltzer, like a nice crispy seltzer with lots and lots of ice and lime. And then I think I would switch over to like probably a strawberry daiquiri. I think that's what I would be drinking. And I think I would just be like sitting where I have like a beautiful view of the caldera, which is like the volcano, which is like the most beautiful part of Santorini, with like the water is so freaking blue. And ooh, I want to be on a yacht. No, because yachts are bad for the environment. I want to be on a sailboat, and I want it to be like an anchor, you know, the anchor is in. So we're not around too
much. Going anywhere. You're just on the boat.
Yeah. And I just want to be able to like sit there and relax and watch. Maybe read a book for a little bit, maybe listen to some music for a little bit, and just enjoy the like beautiful weather and scenery. And that's where I want to be.
Are you with anybody?
Like Will can be there, but I also want like, you know, a little time to myself.
Yeah. Is there any celebrities that you want to be there?
Paul Rudd can serve me my Greek salad.
Paul Rudd is now in the hospitality business. He's a server.
I mean,
now.
Why not? Yeah.
All right. I mean, anywhere but here, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Whose did you like better in terms of the anywhere but here between Buffy's and Willow's? Buffy's, probably actually Buffy's, because her sounds a little bit close to yours, where it's like very beachy. She's getting a foot massage.
Oh, I love massages. On a towel. Yeah.
And Willow is in Florence, Italy. She's eating ziti and she's sitting next to John Cusack. I would pick Willow's. To be honest.
I mean, I enjoy both, but yeah. Willow is very good at the details.
Yeah, I love Buffy complimenting her on it and saying, ooh, very impressive. You have such an eye for detail. And Willow goes, because with the ziti.
I really just love like her mentioning Willow.
Ziti. She's so funny.
She just loves the ziti. Yeah. Xander's is Amy Yip at the Waterslide Park. Who's Amy Yip?
Such a perv. I don't know who Amy Yip is. No one knows who Amy Yip is.
I'm sure she's somebody.
Sure. I don't know if we've ever seen her, though.
Amy Yip. She's not a celebrity. She's a celebrity.
Oh, I thought it was like a person in their school.
No.
Who is it? What's she in?
A Hong Kong actress, famous in the late 80s, early 90s.
Never heard of her.
She's just like a hottie. That's what
okay. I mean, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Okay. I just Googled her. So we know this is going to be a Giles episode when Giles is walking up and they're like, do you think Giles ever played this game as a kid? Like, no, he wore tweed diapers. Like, you know, it's going to be a Giles episode because mm-hmm. it's like, oh, it's going to get turned on its head that he's not actually as like, you know,
uptight yeah, as they up. Think. Yeah. I mean, I don't know what Giles's dream would be, but I feel as though. It is something more than just hanging out in the library. And
yeah, I think, yeah. I do think after this episode, I think there's a reason him and Buffy have bonded. And I think it's because when he got his like marching orders or whatever you want to call it, when he became a watcher, I think he probably felt a little bit like Buffy does, where it's like, oh, it's my destiny, but like, I didn't sign up for this. Like, I want to go do, he wants to like, read books and like go live this other life, but he's forced to like constantly be in peril and constantly be concerned for the Slayer that he's trying to help. I don't know. I just felt like there was a kinship there that I guess I never really tuned into before that I kind of recognized in this episode.
Yeah. They definitely have this thing in common. I wonder what got Giles to turn around and feel like, oh, like I actually, like, I feel like I need to be part of this destiny. Like, I suppose it's like getting scared straight when he wasn't able to contain the demon. And he was like, I have to take my life seriously now.
Yeah.
Especially, like, I want to bury anything bad that I have done.
Yeah.
So maybe that's part of it.
Could be. It's interesting. Like, I'm sure we'll get more from Giles in the future, but I do like this as like the second in a series of like Giles as the Ripper and like Ethan Rain, you know what I mean, like they're his backstory. But he tells Buffy that tonight there's a medical transport delivering a monthly supply of blood to the hospital, and they have to be like on the lookout because obviously vampires are going to try to intercept it and steal the blood. So they're getting ready for that. And I don't know why, it just like, it cracked me up when Miss Callender went up to Giles and like said, morning, England. And Giles just go, oh, hello, Miss Jenny.
It's so then, awkward.
Yeah. But it feels very real, right? Like, I feel like there was always those, you'd see certain teachers talking to each other. And in high school, you're like, oh my God, do you think they're like secretly dating?
Yeah, I remember that too. I remember it being like very, like the funnest gossip to talk
about. Yeah, because you never knew if it was true. So it was always just fun to like think about.
Yeah, there was definitely times where I think I've told this story before, but a English teacher and an art teacher had an affair. And they were both married, and like it got out.
Gosh.
Yeah. Yeah. So that was pretty good. That was pretty good.
Shit where you eat.
Yeah. I mean, that's true. Oh, maybe she was the Spanish teacher. I'm not sure. I figured if she was art or Spanish. It doesn't matter.
But basically, so Miss Calendar is here to tell everyone, okay, we're going to have people in school on a Saturday. Willow's going to help for extra credit because there's people who like have fallen behind on some sort of computer stuff. And then I don't understand. I feel like this happens consistently on the show where people just get roped into things. Like immediately Xander's like roped into this against his will.
Well, it sounds like he is failing some sort of computers class and has to take it. He seems like he is not doing so well in school. But why wouldn't he
know about this beforehand?
No, I think he knew. I think that he was just like covering because he didn't want everybody to know that he was a stupid that didn't know how to use computers.
Also, Xander, if you want me to take you seriously, stop drinking out of a juice box when you're like 17.
What kind? Is it fruit punch?
I can't tell what it is. It looks like Sesame Street is on it. I have no idea.
Oh, no, not Sesame Street.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.
So we follow Giles and Miss Calendar down the hallway, and they're just like, I don't know, they're really cute because she borrowed a book from him and she said she really liked it. And this is why I really like them as a couple, because she's like ribbing him. She's joking, oh, I folded down all these pages and then I started underlining things. And you just see the panic in his eyes.
It was funny. And she really liked, she said, making him squirm. And he was like, yes, you did a good job for it. It's cute. Like, I think that she thinks he's pretty charming.
Yeah, and she calls him a fuddy-duddy, which is really funny and true.
He is definitely a fuddy-duddy. That is 1,000% true.
But she calls him a sexy fuddy-duddy.
Yeah, he's never heard that before. I'm, like, not surprised.
Yeah, and she gets – and this is why I love Miss Calendar, because she – we talked about this it was the Felicity podcast where we talked about, like, oh, waiting to be kissed, right? Mm-hmm. And the thing I love about Miss Calendar is she takes the reins. She takes the wheel and drives.
Always.
And so she leans in and she says, oh, this weekend. And he says, oh, would you like to go out? And she's like, I think I'd like to stay in. And you're like, oh, shit, she wants to fuck Giles.
Yeah, she definitely, yeah, I mean, she does. She did at this point in time. She definitely is a person that is taking the reins. Like, she knows that he's like really nervous and is a fuddy-duddy historically. Yeah. So she knows that she's going to have to kind of make the first moves for it to happen and for him to meet her at least halfway. Yeah. And she doesn't mind being the type of girl who makes the first move, because I guess she's just confident like that. Like, she doesn't, she's probably had men chase her all of her life. And she's just like, fuck it. Like, I'm going to be the one that makes the move. Like, he's kind of nervous and he's trying to be a gentleman and I want him, so I'm going to get him.
Yeah. And I especially love too, because they do kiss, which is a very nice, sweet, it's like a very nice kiss. I thought we like to talk about the kiss chemistry. I thought it was a good kiss. And they get interrupted. The bell rings. There's students in the hallway. And she like leans in and she goes, I'll see if I can make you squirm. And I was like, Miss Calendar.
Yeah, girl. She was feeling it. She was very thirsty. She was ready to fuck him. She's like, enough's enough. Let's go.
Yeah, I think that's the thing. I think she knows that if she doesn't push them forward, he won't. So it's like on her to put that forward momentum. You know, and but poor Giles, like, he had this bad dream and then he had such a great moment with Miss Calendar, and now his day is about to be ruined because a detective is waiting in the library for him and they say, oh, well, we found this, like, there was a homicide on the school grounds last night, which I'm like, how did no one else hear about this yet? And this apparently this guy had no identification, but he had a slip of paper with your name and address on it.
Wow, that sucks. I mean, please, nobody write my name and address on any pieces of paper.
Never.
Please. I don't want to be grouped into this because now he's like up for questioning. I don't think that they think that he's like a murderer, but at the very least, they're like, you have to know something because why else would they have his name and number?
Well, I think it was more about identifying the body because they said the guy didn't have identification on him. So I don't know that they necessarily suspect that like Giles was involved. I think it's more so like, can you please identify this body for us? That's the vibe they were giving off. But
I feel like they were treating him like he was suspicious.
Maybe. But it gets worse because in comes Cordelia.
Why was Cordelia there anyway?
She needed some sort of book on computers.
Oh, she's like, oh yeah. Oh, right. Of course. Cause she's like, doesn't that kind of like negate the point of computers?
She thinks that, computers are going to replace books.
I mean, kind of, not really, but almost. I mean, nobody's going to the library to use the encyclopedias anymore. Everyone's just Googling.
Right. And there are ebooks, but I don't think like they've replaced them really. But yeah, she's complaining because she has to go into school on a Saturday. And I love, again, the sheer confidence that Cordelia operates with on a daily basis is just like a little admirable. It's a little bit too much, but it's also admirable. She sees this cop and immediately it's just like, can you help me with a ticket? I was going down a one-way street. I was going one way. Like, I just couldn't. And when Giles interrupts and says her name, she's like, why does everyone yell my name?
She was really, really, really funny in this episode, particularly in this scene. She's a bit Delulu, but I love that for her.
That's what I like most about her, I think, is like she has this unearned confidence as well as being like absolutely delusional in her day-to-day life.
Yeah. And I feel as though she gets it. I mean, she was like, I can take a hint. What's the hint?
Yeah.
I mean, like, I feel like she is smart in her own way. It's really, really funny.
And I'm trying to think of who to compare her to where she has almost like social smarts, if that makes sense. Like, she understands the hierarchy of high school. She understands like how to manipulate certain situations because she's been popular and she, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
she has certain sorts of smarts that do occasionally come in handy, but they're really, really specific circumstances.
Like Amber from Clueless, almost.
Yes. Yeah.
But no, I think that she's a pretty unique character and she plays it really, really well.
Well, yeah, you have to give credit to Charisma Carpenter for an incredible portrayal as Cordelia, because I think if in the hands of a different actor, I don't know that it comes off as funny as she plays
right.
it up to be.
Because it's like, yeah, no, it definitely comes off as funny, but also because it's really hard to play that without like kind of hating her. And I think that she does it in a way where it's like, oh, Cordelia, you're so silly. Like, you know, it could be very easy to dislike her, but I feel like because also it's like she's kind of trying to be better. It's interesting. She's so interesting. But Giles kind of yells at her to get out and she's like, wow, like you're so caffeinated. Have people like talk to me when you drink in your decaf. And Giles gets like escorted away to the morgue to identify the body.
Yeah.
And he does recognize him, but the only thing that he's not honest about is the tattoo.
Yeah, it's really interesting because we find out, so this guy, Philip, he hasn't seen him. So first of all, the guy's from London and he hasn't spoken to him in 20 years. So that gives us some sort of a basis, or at least like a framework of
how long ago when, all this was.
Yeah, like when Giles decided to turn his life, you know, take a different path, if you will. Mm-hmm. It seems like probably it was about 20 years ago. Obviously, all of this like happened in London. So possibly that's why he came to America in the first place. Like we really don't know. But he says, yeah, I haven't spoken to him in 20 years. And we see this tattoo. And the detective asks him about it. And he lies. And he says, no, I have no idea what this tattoo is. And I feel like kind of all of us knew immediately, like, oh, Giles is going to have the same tattoo.
Yeah, I mean, I guess. I mean, I definitely thought that he knew what the tattoo was.
Yeah, I was honestly hoping that it would get revealed in like a saucy little scene with Miss Calendar. Like he would have like a nice little tramp stamp when he's
a tramp stamp. No. It has to be on the forearm. It's like right above like your arm, like your elbow armpit, you know what I mean?
Elbow pit. Yeah, I know what you mean.
Elbow pit. Yeah. Buffy is waiting outside of the hospital, waiting for the blood delivery. And Giles is a no-show. And he is always prompt. So this whole thing is pretty weird. And she watches two doctors accept the blood, but it turns out they were vampires. Now, this is my thought. This is a good thing that the vampires are taking blood.
I am so happy you said this because I, for a second, had the same thought. They're not killing people. However, they kind of indirectly are. Because what if someone is like, give me some O negative stat. And they're like, we're all out. They die.
Yeah, I get that. But I feel as though if the world knew that vampires existed, then the American Red Cross should do like a 50-50 program because let's try to like the vampires are there, you know, like I'm sure there's some of them that want to be, as Twilight calls them, vegetarians. Oh no, the vegetarians were they animals.
But the weird thing is though, because from everything we've seen, like Buffy has said, like she said to her friend who was like gonna die and he wanted to be a vampire, that guy, she had said like you turn into a monster. So I always thought that like there was an inherent thing in vampires that like they suddenly got this urge to kill people. It wasn't just about the blood needing to satiate them. You know?
I feel like it's kind of like fast food. Like you could get McDonald's every single day, but it's probably not like the healthiest, cleanest thing to eat.
Are you talking about humans as McDonald's or as the blood, the McDonald's?
Like the blood in the bag is probably like blood. McDonald's. Okay. Like if you wanted like a good, healthy, it's
convenient
meal. Yeah, exactly. Then you would
cleanup required.
Yeah. I mean like blood and bag is definitely McDonald's. Now this is also the interesting thing. Cause like Angel shows up and he's like fighting off with Buffy, the vampires that are trying to steal the blood. They win. And she's like, oh, like Angel, like how did you know that this was going on tonight? Don't you remember when Angel, we saw Angel's apartment, didn't he have like a fridge of these bags? Like Angel probably steals the blood.
I know. I think he had, if I'm remembering correctly, he had some sort of arrangement. I don't know if it was with a morgue or with like... There was some sort of arrangement he made. The thing I found funniest about this is that Angel, like twice in this episode, just shows up. He just shows up and he's suddenly there. And he's like, oh, it's delivery day. Everybody knows that.
Everybody.
Like, who the fuck knows that, Angel? Well,
I mean, all the vamps. Like, I'm sure it comes out in the newsletter.
Yeah. But I agree. I think so. Funnily enough, in True Blood, which I reference sometimes, that True Blood is literally the name of like a synthetic blood replacement thing. And that's what the vampires drink. But a lot of them say it tastes like metallic. They don't like the taste, which is why a lot of them still will like, you know, feed off of humans because it tastes better.
It's like Slim Fast.
Yes. And there's different flavors too. Like Oneg tastes different than listen, it's a thing.
Do you know your blood type?
Yes. I'm A negative.
Oh, wow.
What are you?
I'm A positive.
I could give you my blood.
Can you?
Yeah, but I can't take yours.
Are you sure about that?
I am, because if you're a positive, that means you have this extra little thingy on your cells or something. And so it's fine if I give you my blood because I don't have the extra thingy, but it's fine for you to take it. But if you gave me your blood and you had the extra thingy and I don't, you could like poison me and kill me.
Oh, gosh.
I know.
You're kind of an inconvenience.
I mean, yeah, but it's okay because my husband's a universal donor, so.
Oh, really? That. He's O?
Yeah, he's O negative.
Oh, he's O negative. Wow.
Yeah, universal donor, baby.
Oh, wow. Okay. Well, good for Will.
Yeah. So this is when Buffy starts getting really, so they defeat all the vampires, obviously. And Buffy is nervous because Giles is like the most prompt person of all time. Like Giles is that guy who says, if you're on time, you're late, you know, mm-hmm. He is always early. And so she's just like, this is weird. Like, I don't like this. And we get, like you said, she goes to his apartment, which is like, it has to be an apartment because she's not outside.
I guess so, but it looks like that door is like a substantial, like, carved door. This looks like a castle.
Okay, but what if this is like a church that was made into apartments? You know what I mean? Like, what if the original building is not an apartment building, but a renovated something or other?
Look, I don't know what this is, but I'm saying, like, no apartment complex that I've been to has ever seen a door like that.
I don't know, fair. I believe you. Yeah. Yeah. Maybe it's not a complex. That's the thing.
I mean, I don't know. So he kind of chases Buffy away and he looks disheveled. Like
he has like stubble, which we've never seen.
He looks a bit disheveled and he's like, Buffy, I can't have you here. And she's like, well, you know, you're supposed to show up. And he's like, are you hurt? And she's like, just my feelings. And he
loves that. I love the just my feelings. And he's just like, okay, bye.
Yeah, he's like, you know what? I have important things to do and you're not very important. Goodbye.
Oh my gosh.
The important things that he has to do is call England and look for Deirdre, who we saw earlier.
Right.
And he gets a confirmation that she's a deado. And he's like, oh no. And he like crosses off all the names that were in his cult. And he's like, everybody's dead. I'm next. Me and Ethan are next.
Yeah, Ethan. Him and Ethan are the only two names left on the list. And not great. There are three other names. Thomas, Philip, and Deirdre are the other three. And it's also very obvious based on like his desk that he's been drinking because there's like a half empty bottle of, I don't know, scotch, whatever he likes to drink. On the table. So it's like, obviously whatever is troubling him is leading him to the bottle, which is very unlike Giles. I think Giles is a very put together guy. Also, I've never noticed he wore a pinky ring until just this moment.
Disgusting.
I mean, that's for mob bosses, Giles. What are you doing? Can I ask you also, because I feel like you would like to discuss this. What do you think of Giles's handwriting? Did you notice it?
Ooh. I
find his D's particularly interesting.
I have to look closer. Okay. So I guess it's after the my condolences because we have to cross someone out.
Yeah. It's basically like it kind of it's all capsy, I will say. Yeah,
I'm an all caps.
Yeah, you're an all caps girly. I just think it's like I feel like it fits him. This handwriting style fits him.
Yeah, I like this handwriting. I approve. He is the blue pen guy, which is gives me the ick.
Yeah.
Okay, now I think he lives in a house. I don't think that he lives in an apartment. I'm not sure. Because there's some vaulted ceilings. He has a Tiffany lamp. He's very fancy.
He goes antiquing.
So then he goes to the mirror and he's like, okay, Giles, it's me and you time. You and me and you. And then he rolls up his sleeve and he has the tattoo. Bum bum bum.
Yeah, and he looks himself in the mirror after he like puts some water on his face. He goes, So you're back.
Yeah. Oh my god. So I don't know. I kind of wish it was like one of those things where the mirror is talking, but he's not. How creepy would that be?
That would be creepy.
And it's like the demon within him.
What if he has an evil twin?
What's Giles's evil twin's name?
Lyle.
Well, okay, so Giles is his last name.
Oh, right.
So his real name is Rupert. Yeah. I don't know. That Rupert name seems a little suspicious. I don't know if I trust anyone named Rupert. I joke, but
maybe
Bartholomew.
That's a perfect yes. Bartholomew and Rupert.
Yeah, those are his evil twin, Bartholomew. Meanwhile, after he's, like, giving him a pep talk, being like, hi, Hi, Chiles. You're doing great. That's a cool tattoo. Sorry, the tattoo removal is not doing so hot anymore these days. It's really hard to get off. Meanwhile, we get Mr. Dedo from the beginning of the episode. He's awake. The Gook got him, and he is now he's now an undead.
Yeah. Ugh. It's so nasty. He like the moor guy comes in the next morning and he just gets up and he is alive. He's looking not great, but he is like undead.
Yeah, he looks like a dead.
Yeah, he does. So, he looks terrible.
But at least he's alive, at least for now. We're at Saturday morning computer class, which is just like, I don't even know what we're doing here.
Why are the Scoobies the only people in this, by the way?
Because they didn't want to pay any extras to be to be here. So Buffy comes in and is like, there's something wrong with Giles. He had one glass of bourbon last night. I'm terribly worried.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, this is so funny. He was supposed to be somewhere last night and he wasn't there, and he was acting very anti-Giles. And I love Jenny saying he was home alone drinking, and Willow goes, but tea, right?
I'm sorry. Like, I don't know why everyone's overreacting to him having like a glass of bourbon in his house. He's a grown ass man.
Yes, but it's not like Giles is the thing.
How do you know? You don't know shit about Giles. You don't know what him after. No, they don't. Not they don't know what he does at night.
Like, I think it's less so the drinking and more so the fact that he didn't show up to the meetup. And that he looked very disheveled and like blew Buffy off, which is unlike him.
There was just like a weird concentration on the drinking. Yeah. And I was like, I mean, I don't know. Like, he's an adult. He can have a glass of bourbon before bed or five. It's fine. It's his prerogative.
Yeah. Xander makes a good point where he says nobody can be wound as straight and narrow as Giles without a dark side erupting.
I mean, facts. That is true.
Yeah, it is. So they're like, oh, did anybody notice anything? No, I haven't seen anything. And then Cordelia brings up that he was speaking to the police yesterday. She's just like, they're like, well, what was it about? And she can't even, she's like, I don't know, a homicide?
Just like a little dash of homicide.
Just a little like murder.
Yeah. Nothing, no biggie. And everyone's like, why didn't you tell us this before? It's like, because it wasn't relevant information until this very second.
Yeah.
Like I was kind of team Cordelia at this point. I was just like.
Exactly. No one asked her. No one had said anything about Giles up until this very moment.
What's she going to do? Like, you know, see this situation and run to Buffy and be like, Giles is talking to cops.
It's it does feel like a Cordelia thing to do, though.
No,
like,
she has gossip more train things to do. She has to, like, you know, pick her color highlights, you know, like, she has very important tasks to do.
Is Cordelia too self-centered to be a gossip?
Yes, because she's too busy gossiping about herself. Unless something happened to her, like, she gossiped about Buffy, but after Buffy, like, attacked her. And yeah, so it's fair. Like, everything is her adjacent. It has to, like, but she's not going off and talking about other people unless it involves her. Like, maybe if somebody was up for prom queen and somebody else was going to get it over her, then she'll gossip. But it's only because it's a retaliation against her.
Yeah.
In her mind.
That makes sense. Yeah, I could see it.
Yeah. Ethan shows up at the library and she's like, hey, I know you. You sold me a costume and then I turned into an evil person. And he's like, but you looked good.
Yeah. What a nasty perv. Yeah, she says that she wants to call the police and have him arrested for breaking and entering. Also, she punches him in the face, which I was a big fan of. And Ethan is like, oh, well, if you call the cops, then they're going to ask Rupert all these questions and they'll need him to make answers and blah, blah, blah. This is when Buffy has the realization, like, oh, you knew each other. And he says, oh, we go way back.
Back in the college days, and he shows Buffy the tattoo. He like rolls up his sleeve slowly too. He goes, this is my tat. And
sick tat, bro.
And then Buffy calls Giles and is like, tell me you have a tattoo. Tell me the truth.
Yeah. What is the mark of Igon?
He's like, I won't tell you. I'm keeping it to my grave. You. And then he's like, you're not safe if Ethan is there. And she's like, okay, but you're not here. And Ethan is here. And I can't escape without Ethan being here. And I'm being here. So stop drinking in the middle of the day and come save my ass.
Yeah, this is really funny. He's like, you need to leave. And she's like, I'm not leaving. Like, what? In what world, Giles, was this going to work? Like, you know Buffy better than this.
Well, like, she leaves and then Ethan either follows or steals all the books from the book cage.
Exactly. Well, I think the main thing he's trying to avoid is exactly what ends up happening, which is Zombie Philip crashes into the library and is going to attack. And I think that's exactly what he was trying to avoid. But you know what, Sarah? Thank God for the sex cage in the library.
Yeah, he got locked up in there. Mm-hmm. Yeah, all the toys were taken away, though.
Yeah, one swift kick. She locks him in. He somehow gets out later, which I don't know how. Well, that seems like a pretty stupid cage.
But. Yeah, Ethan is, like, teasing Giles, and they have this, like, little talk about, he's like, you know what? I could have left, but I decided not to because the lease is not up yet. And then Giles like grabs Ethan's head or grabs him by the hair.
Yeah, this was great. Well, I think it's because like Giles is pissed off because basically Ethan is spilling all the tea, all of Giles's precious British tea all over the place. Like he's calling him Ripper in front of everyone. Yeah. And he told Ethan to leave. And Ethan very obviously did not. And the thing we know about Giles, so we don't know Giles's family situation, which is something I'm very interested in. Like I wonder like what happened to his family, because we know that being a watcher gets like passed down generation to generation. Did like his father have to die or mother have to die for him to become a watcher? Like I'm fascinated by this. But, yeah. Like, as a result, these people now, the Scoobies, Miss Calendar, they're his family. They're the people that are closest to him. And even they don't know all these secrets. But he's pissed off because Ethan put all of them in grave danger by being around them when this freaking Zombie Philip was on the loose.
Yeah. I am strangely attracted to Ethan.
That's really weird.
I don't know why. I think like his
is it the confidence or something?
I don't know, but like I find him attractive. I'm into him. Yeah, I like this Ethan guy. So the zombie breaks out and starts like attacking Jenny, and then long story short, Buffy kicks him into oblivion and he turns into goop, and also Jenny's like passed out and the goop starts like crawling to Jenny.
Yeah, it and touches then, her.
Yeah, but it seems as though, like, she's okay. She wakes up. More on that in a sec. And, like, he starts, like, comforting her. Ethan escapes. He bounces. He's like, I don't want to be here right now. Peace out. Goodbye. And then as Giles and Jenny are, like, hugging, of course, her, like, eyes light up. And we will see, like, she is now taken over by Igon, I guess his name is.
Yeah.
The demon. But we don't know that yet because there's, like, just so much research. And then I thought it was interesting, Jess, that he doesn't stay and explain what the frick is going on. He's like, I need to take Jenny home. Bye.
Yeah. I think this is a bad move, obviously. It just feels like, If Ethan is still on the loose and you know that like this isn't over, you need to inform Buffy what the hell is going on, because Buffy of all people can handle her own, you know, like you want her helping you. The worst thing you could do is not give her information and have her being going into these situations basically blind to whatever is happening. And so he says like, oh, it's private. So it very much feels like, because of how personal this all is to Giles, that's the reason he's not sharing, is because he's ashamed of his past. And so he doesn't want to share it. He wants to live in the, like, I'm Giles the librarian, the fuddy-duddy, the sexy fuddy-duddy librarian, not Ripper from 20 years ago.
It's just, like, putting her in a really bad spot, in my opinion, because it becomes her responsibility because of the job that he didn't give it to her, but the job that, like, she's there in Sunnydale to protect the citizens. Mm-hmm. And even though it's closely related to you, it's just, it does a disservice by her not getting all the information. Thankfully, she kind of gets it later, but to keep her in the dark is really irritating. And I guess, like, in his defense, maybe he didn't want the rest of the Scoobies to know. And they're all there.
I think it's even more than that. Like, he says, I'm handling it. Like, I think he truly I think he thinks he can handle this all on his own. But this is the mistake he makes, in that the reason we know Buffy is so successful as a Slayer is not just because she's Buffy and she's a badass. She has help. She has an entire team, you know? And I think that's what Giles is failing to see, is that he has a team behind him and that he can't do this alone. He needs help with all of it. And I really like how the group, like, rallies and basically takes it upon themselves to do this research without him, which we know, Sarah, like, Giles loves research. That's his favorite freaking thing. And they're doing that legwork without him here.
Yeah. Buffy kind of gives everybody some marching orders about what to do. Willow is meant to do some research within the books. Xander and Cordelia have to go into Giles' private files. And Willow does find the symbol of Igon in one of the books and pulls it up and shows Buffy. It says, Igon, also known as the Sleepwalker, can only exist in this reality by possessing an unconscious host. The temporary possession imbues the host with a euphoric feeling of power. And then, unless the proper rituals are observed, the possession is permanent, and Igon will be born from within the host. Once called, Igon can also take possession of the dead, but its demonic energy soon disintegrates the host and must jump to the nearest dead or unconscious person, which is kind of like what we saw. And like, that is like the line of interest, because even though Igon was jumping from dead person to dead person, unconscious also works, and that's how he was able to jump into Miss Calendar. And sightings of this demon harken back to the earliest days conjurers and black magicians. The power inherent in Igon has seduced seekers of power for centuries, but has always led to their ultimate demise. Those courageous or foolish enough to call upon these spirits may enjoy great. And then the page turns and I can't read it. But I think, like, this is interesting specifically because of the power. Like, and it's interesting because, like, we hear all the time, like, people seeking power. I don't want power. I want less power. Because come great power comes great responsibility. I don't want any responsibility. Why do so many people want power? And is it just like, is it a man thing?
Oh, certainly it's, I mean, most certainly it's a man thing. I think it can be many things. I think a lot of times the people who want power are people who've never had it. And so they feel like they're owed something, or maybe they feel like, oh, I would be different if I had this power, you know. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't be like all these other assholes in the world. I think it's just, when you have power, you have the ability to enact change, to create things. You just have the ability to do more than when you're powerless. I think that's why a lot of people seek it out. But I agree. I think it's interesting, and it makes sense to me that a younger, less wise Giles is like, gets roped into something like this where he wants to be powerful. He doesn't think far ahead. You know, he doesn't think about the implications of any of this, and he goes forward with it because that's what he wants. And then he kind of realizes his mistake. And that is where him and Ethan kind of part ways, is they both have two different ideologies when it comes to power, I think, at that point. But I like the idea that it's all about power, because I feel like that's a very real thing for a lot of people. Like, a lot of people want power, to your point, Sarah. Like, that is that's what a lot of people want, because it feels like it gives them the ability to do more.
Yeah. I kind of just think to, like, what do I think of, like, in a non superhero world of, like, you know, people seeking power. And I guess it's like politics is like a big one.
Right.
because for me, it's like, I cannot imagine like how delusional you would have to be to want to become president. That seems like a responsibility that is so unworldly and like horrible. And I don't understand why anybody would want to do that. And I think that like the reason why people do choose or to go into politics or become the president is because, like, you're right, like they feel like they can do better and improve more so than like post people and make a difference. But I just like can't fathom ever wanting that.
No, certainly me neither in terms of like political power. Certainly it's one of those things where you feel like it changes someone. Like, power tends to change people. Like, you don't really know who you are until you're like put in certain circumstances, you know, and sometimes it turns out not to be so great. That's why people, and not that power equals money, but a lot of times they kind of go hand in hand. And that's why you see people who like win the lottery end up being like absolutely miserable, because like, there's a fine line between like having enough money to get by, and like obviously not having money can make you very unhappy, but having too much money can also make you very unhappy. So it's a fine line. And I think that's part of like the human experience, is trying to find that line and not cross it, trying to find where you're comfortable living in terms of power and money and success and all of those things. Like, what are you valuing more? If you asked me when I was 21, what I wanted more of, it would have been money, success. Like, those would have been the things that I said. Whereas now it would be happiness. Like, that is what I'm going for. I don't care if I make triple digits, no, six digit salary or something. You know what I mean? I don't care if I make hundreds of thousands of dollars if I'm overworked and extremely unhappy and have no time to spend enjoying it.
I totally agree with you. I was always, my goal had always been like focus on love. Like, I never had like big political aspirations. Like, I don't know if I had, you know, in The Sims, you have to choose your aspiration.
Yes. Yeah.
Mine was always like romance or like family. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. It's just interesting because I know that people out there want this like power. I also think of like bosses, like CEOs. And it's just like, why do you want that responsibility? Like, you can have so much more freedom in life if you if you lived in the mid. Like, let's all aim to live in the mid, in my opinion.
Well, someone's got to do it, I think, is the thing, right? And like, some people thrive in that scenario. Some people thrive off of leadership and you know, having power and being able to direct things. Some people thrive in those environments, and maybe that's maybe they have it all. Maybe they have a family and love and happiness and all of those things. Like, I think that's tough to achieve, but maybe they have it. But I think a lot of times it's a trade-off. I think a lot of times, like, if you're going to pick one thing, you can't necessarily, like, you can't have it all. And I know that might be like a pessimistic way of viewing things, but I think you're always going to be trading one for another. If you're spending more time on one thing, it means you're spending less time on something else.
Yeah.
And inevitably it's going to come to a head at some point. And I think like wise people understand where to draw that line, what is too much in terms of taking on things that kind of cuts down on your happiness. Because gosh, I wouldn't want to make so much money if I'm like miserable. Like, it's just not a life I want to live. Like, when you're on your deathbed, what are you remembering? Every day that you went to work? If you love your job, maybe that's what you want, but that's not for everybody. And so I think like having Giles in the past be corrupted by this like promise of power makes a lot of sense to me, especially with someone who's like a Nepo baby and has like all of this pressure of this legacy that he has to live up to. You know what I mean? Like, if you get told your entire life, like, oh, you have this destiny, you're going to be a watcher, blah, 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 it's probably going to overinflate your ego quite a bit.
Right. That, and also the fact that it's just like, he doesn't feel like he has any control. So, you know, becoming, becoming like a person that's controlled by this great powerful entity, like, he's able to be to choose his own path, which he feels like he's not able to do, like make decisions actually for himself, rather than decisions coming to him. So we see Giles brought Miss Callender back to his place. She didn't want to go home. She says that she's a little freaked out. And she is kind of like just walking around. And eventually she starts like telling him like, oh, like you've always been weak. Like you can't like live up to me, this, that, and the other thing. And we soon discover that she is indeed possessed by the demon Igon. And this is the same time like Buffy and the Scoobies realize that like Miss Callender is probably possessed also. Mm-hmm. Like she catches on and runs to Giles's house.
Yeah, this is so creepy because she like Miss Callender rips the phone cord out of the wall. So like when Buffy tries to call, obviously the phone's out of order. And when she's like, it's like she's negging him as like a seductive move, but in a really mean way. She says, you're like a woman ripper. You cry at every funeral. You never had the strength for me. You don't deserve me. Obviously this is Igon talking, but guess what? You've got me under. And she says it in this like very deep voice, under your skin.
Yeah. And then she grabs his face and like kisses him and then pulls back. And then she has like a bit of demon face. Not as demon facey as we will see her later.
But it's so creepy. I feel like they did such a good job at like transforming her face, truly.
Yeah, because like in every scene, it's like more and more. And she kind of like throws him around like a rag doll. And yeah, Buffy comes in. Yeah, Buffy comes in and like kicks her ass. And there's like a bit of like a fight between them. She just
leaps out a window. So cash.
Just very casual. She goes, 3 down, 2 to go. I'll be seeing ya. And she just like jumps out the window. It's like, he probably rents this place, ma'am.
Yeah.
Like he's going to have to, he's going to lose his safety deposit. What a shame.
Yeah. And this is the thing. It's like Giles, of course, just feels such guilt because it's him dating Miss Callender that really like got her into the situation in the first place. And so he feels awful about it, and it's not just that Miss Callender is now involved, but he is one of the reasons that Igon is even doing all of this.
Yeah,
it's like, and he brought him here.
Correct. Yes, she doesn't know this yet because he still won't tell her. No. At this point, I think he'll tell her in the next scene.
It's right after right after Willow and Xander look at this like sexy ass picture of Giles, like rock and roll Giles.
Yeah, so Giles used to play guitar and wear a leather jacket, like very Sex Pistols type of vibe.
I love this
is where we learn his dark meth past. This is where I took my notes. Basically, when he was 21, he was studying history at Oxford and then the occult at night. And he hated studying and he hated the pressure of his destiny. Mm-hmm. So he decided to drop out of school.
Shocking. Which is wild for Giles.
Yeah. And moved to London. And that's where he said that he joined the worst crowd that would accept him. And they used to practice magic together, just like a little black magic together.
We love that. Anytime there's black magic in shows, we love it.
Yeah. He said small stuff at first. Like they were just doing like little things for like gains, like probably like, oh, like a luck spell or like a money spell.
Yeah. Give myself an A on this test. Oh, wait, he dropped out of school. Yeah.
I forgot. But then him and Ethan found Igon. Or like they discovered like Igon, and then they used to do this thing where they would go to sleep and him and all their little cult members would summon Igon. And they would just like, and Igon would like possess them in this like twilight sleep. And he said it's like it was a real high.
Sounds like doing drugs. Like it sounds like he was like an addict, you know?
Yeah, I think so. Like I think like I wonder, I guess like when he like did this like possession, he probably felt like stronger.
Well, because they said that, yeah, they said that it would like imbue them with power. So of course,
I just wonder like what kind of power, like, you know, is it like maybe sharpness, maybe it was like strength, like I wonder exactly.
It might be like a little bit of everything sort of thing, as well as like confidence, you know.
So the issue is one of their co cult members, Randall, mm-hmm. while they were doing this little ritual that they did all the time. I guess they took turns. So, like, democratic, by the way.
It feels very light as a feather, stiff as a board.
Yes. And everybody got to have their turn. Like, not even the skinniest one got to be exactly. floating. Yeah. So Randall lost control, and Igon, like, took him over. And then they had, like, the job of where it's like, okay, we have to destroy him. And the only way they were able to do it was by killing him. And they thought this fixed it. And that's when, like, everybody probably dispensed, because they probably mm-hmm. felt big guilt that they had to kill their friend, Randall. But turns out he was just, like, simmering.
Yeah, he was dormant for, like, 20 years.
He was just simmering. Like, I don't know. I wish we had more details about, like...
Let him cook.
I wish we had more details about, like, how he came back out of nowhere.
It could be that we find out at a later point, like, because we still could get more Giles backstory stuff, but, like,
yeah,
for the plot is kind of where I feel like that's what it is. But
yeah, for the plot. And that is any other things that you want to add besides, because, like, I took my copious notes, but is there anything else?
Your notes are incredible. 10 out of 10. Such a lore keeper. Giles would be so proud of you right now. Because guess what? Keeper. First of all, he spoke and you listened, which is already, like, so much better than usual.
I listened so hard, everybody. I just want everybody to be proud of me. I listened. I wrote notes. I kept it in my little brain.
You nailed it. You absolutely nailed it. Well, you really tried. Love a secret society, so I feel like he got you there. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I really do love secret societies. Nothing makes me happier than, I mean, we talked about this during the Lizard Boy episode. Like, I love cults and I love secret societies.
Yeah.
I just have a weird fascination. And guess what? Oh my God, this was wild. But I found, like, an old tweet or something. Oh no, it was a Snapchat story that I had saved to my phone. And it said, if the Illuminati asked me to join them, I would 110% say yes.
What's wrong with you?
I mean, that's what I said. What is wrong with me? Because I just thought if the Illuminati asked me to join, I would say yes. And I feel as though, like, I'm not saying, like, I do think that, like, of course you have to say yes.
I mean, if you don't want to die, probably, right?
Yeah. I'm just saying that I would join.
Yeah. Okay.
Do you think the Illuminati is the real thing?
I guess so.
Yeah.
Yeah. I wouldn't join. Why not? I'm very anti-cult. Like, I don't like group gatherings in general.
Maybe that's why I like it. I'm like, oh my God, it's like a socializing. Sorority. Yeah, it's a sorority. I gotta join.
Do we get special shirts made?
Oh my God. Yeah, I was wearing my Pi Pi shirt yesterday.
Oh God.
Yeah, I am so such funny. A good
I girl. Routinely question how we became friends in the first place when we are literally, like, polar opposites in so many ways.
I don't know. I don't know.
It's a miracle. It's a miracle. Yeah.
I think that Greek life is so good. I can go on, like, a rant about it always.
Mm-hmm. Well, we don't have time for that right now, though. Okay. Maybe if Greek life comes up again in the show, which it could.
I sure hope so.
Yeah.
Buffy is eventually probably going to go to college.
I mean, certainly, right? What are they, sophomores now?
Who the fuck knows?
Truly, it doesn't matter. I guess
he's either 16, barely 17 ever or 18. Maybe she's 15. I don't know. I have no fucking clue. Okay. I don't know what Buffy's saying, but Buffy's telling Giles that she needs to be a part of this and help.
Yeah, and she says, you're a fucking wreck, you look like a mess, I'm gonna help you. And he finally eventually takes, you know, is like, fine. He does apologize. So they go to Ethan's old, like, costume shop situation.
The mannequins are still raging.
They're like piled on shelves, like dead bodies. It's weird.
There's mannequins aplenty.
Yeah, it's a lot. Of course, Ethan is there, and Buffy says, Giles told me everything, and I know that Igon is coming for you. And he's like, oh, and you came to protect me. I'm touched. Maybe that's why you like him. He's very cocky.
I don't really like cockiness, but he then captures Buffy and then is like, welcome to my tattoo studio. What do you want to get? Oh, you want a butterfly? Nope, none for you. You get Igon. Like, everybody gets Igon.
It's horrible. And he puts it like, oh my God, she's like, my mom's gonna kill me. Like, he puts it like on the back of her neck.
Okay, hold on. Did you tell your mom when you got your first tattoo?
Yes, I did.
Okay. When I got my first tattoo, it was like on my 18th birthday. Did not tell my parents. I just got it. I went there. I got the tattoo. I had planned it before. My family did not find out about my tattoo until graduation because my gown did not go past my tattoo because it's on my ankle.
Yeah.
Not very stealthy, but yeah, they were not very happy about it. Also, I think like, well, I know in the Jewish religion, it's like kind of bad.
Oh yeah. You can't tattoos. Be in like a Jewish like cemetery thingy or whatever. Yeah. Right.
My dad cared more than my mom did. My sister has a tattoo and like my sister told my mom that she was getting
The funny thing is I didn't hide my first tattoo nor my second tattoo, but I did hide my fifth tattoo.
What?
Because
what's your fifth tattoo? Is it
my fifth tattoo is the one on Igon? My wrist that says no, it's not the Igon. It's not the Igon one. That's on the back of my neck. No, it's the Serendipity one I have on my wrist because I just didn't feel like having to hear my parents complain about me getting another one. You know what I mean? Like I just didn't feel like having the conversation.
You so have five tattoos.
No, I have more than that now. Let me count. Hold on.
I have one.
Yeah, I have one on each of my feet, so that's two. I have one behind my ear, that's three. One on the front of my shoulder, that's four. One on each of my wrists, five and six. I think I have six total, I think.
So I'm like one of those people, it's such a rarity because typically when you get a tattoo, you just want like more and more and more.
The bug, yeah.
I am the like only person that I know that has gotten one tattoo and then never got another one.
Yeah. Yeah, that's it. It's all you needed, the one.
Yeah. Uno momento. Or no, uno tattoo.
Uno tattoo?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, Buffy's getting uno tattoo. Courtesy of Ethan.
Yeah.
And this Welcome is like a whole summoning shop. Thing. This is very Voldemort. Like, and the Dark Mark.
It is very Dark Mark. Because he's like, the zombies and the demons are coming after me because they can tell it's like a magnet. They know where I am because also like you can see each other through the thing. So he does the tattoo on Buffy so that they would be attracted to her and not him. And then he takes a vial of acid and then pours it on his tattoo so that it will burn off of his body.
Nasty.
It's pretty nasty. It's pretty nasty.
Yeah.
It kind of works. I don't know, because then Miss Calendar, Jenny, the demon, comes in, big demon face, and
nasty
is basically like, I'm here to attack you. And she does. And meanwhile, Willow and the gang is trying to figure out how to fix this issue, like destroy the demon without killing Ms. Calendar, because the thing is like you can kill the demon, but it's like chopping the head off or like burning them at the stake. I don't know, whatever. Right.
But the problem is that it's going to go into another like unconscious body or dead body. Right. And that's when Willow has the like light bulb moment. She does the thing like everyone does in TV where they like run out as soon as they have the idea without saying what it is.
I have an idea. I must run out of the room.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Also, I have to ask, when we see Giles like get up off the floor, was he like, did Buffy like knock him out or something?
I don't know.
He maybe he's just too going much? Like, it's just weird.
I don't know. He's kind of just like a mess, but everybody winds up at the costume shop and including Angel. And the idea was put the demon into Angel's body, so the existing demon in Angel's body and the demon Igon can fight each other, and like they which is like, okay, I get it, but what happens if Igon won? He didn't, because the demon inside of Angel beat him. But I was like a little
it was
nervy.
A risk they were willing to take.
They're like, yeah, he was like, maybe he's like, well, you know, if I die, then I die. I guess.
I think that's how Angel, honestly, Angel has a bit of that. What is that called?
Depression. When you're like,
Yes.
He's a bit of that depression.
He has the thing where, like, you're like, oh, but everyone's going to die anyway, so who cares?
Yeah, he's a bit of a pessimist.
Nihilist. That's it, nihilist.
So basically.
But it's like, oh, he's been alive for 200 years. If he dies, he dies.
He dies, he dies. But thankfully, the demon inside of him was stronger. And
also, Jenny's demon so face stupid. As Igon is horrible. Like, it looks, it's scary looking.
It's very scary.
It doesn't even look like her.
It's very scary.
It might not be her.
I don't really know. So thank goodness Angel's okay. The demon inside him it has escaped. Jenny's okay. Mm-hmm. Ethan is so slippery. He just slips out. He just leaves again. He's a little this pussy guy, bitch.
I feel like he has a career as a magician because he just like, boof, he's gone. Every 5 seconds.
He's very slippery.
Yeah.
And, you know, Jenny is like, Jaws has to like carry her out, and
yeah, she's really shaken up.
She's shaken up. Everyone's shaken up. The next day at school, Buffy is saying that she has to use her entire allowance to remove the tattoo.
Hilarious. Also, it's going to take so many sessions. Like,
I'm very curious. Like, are they just going to like la-di-da and be like, oh, yes, certainly, I got my tattoo removed.
Of course they are. Of course they are. Also, I don't know if you noticed this little, I don't know if it's a breadcrumb or if it's like, what is it called? Foreshadowing, or if it's just like a comment, but Buffy is saying how smart Willow was for like figuring out that Angel could destroy the demon. And she says, oh, maybe you should consider a career as a watcher.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, bitch.
Yeah. I think that there's definitely something there.
Especially if Giles doesn't have any kids, then like what happens? You know what I mean?
Willow did say it's too much responsibility for her.
But I think she's eventually going to be like, she's living in chaos so much that it just becomes the norm at a certain point.
Don't you want more for Willow than to be a watcher?
Certainly, but I think she could handle the responsibility.
Maybe if she works on a union where the watchers are actually paid well, then I would
be
okay.
We need to get them
a
union. We really do. Yeah.
Maybe an assistant. They need more.
Yeah,
definitely. The working conditions is dire.
Maybe Willow can be Giles's intern, and then eventually she gets her own intern. Xander can be her intern.
No, not Xander. Maybe Oz. Oz can be the intern.
Oh, we still didn't see Oz this episode.
Yeah. Well, we can't have him on too many episodes because then we have to pay him as a series regular.
Obviously.
Yeah. Giles has this conversation with Jenny, and this was what I was referring to earlier, where I felt like she was acting weird because it's like, Curly, you knew what you were getting into by hanging out with Buffy and the gang. Like, I don't know. Like, I kind of, because she was just like kind of blowing him off, and I felt very bad for Giles.
Yeah, it's very obvious. She's just like brushing him off, and obviously she's been through an ordeal. But like, maybe this is just me. Maybe he reminds her of like that moment and she doesn't want to be reminded of it. But also like, he's the only one who you could really talk to about this. So like, I feel like I would want to have that conversation, you know? Yeah,
I really was not a fan. I like kind of, I mean, look at me getting like defensive of Giles.
Wow,
but
she's grown.
I was like kind of pissed for him because like, you know, don't take it out on Giles. Like, you signed up for this. Like, you knew that they were fighting all these demons. You know about Hellmouth. Like, you know that all this stuff can come and happen. And, like, you're blowing him off like this?
Well, I think to put it into a different perspective based on what, like, Giles says here, it's different than, like, Buffy's fighting a vampire. Because it's what Giles did is in his past is bringing this to their doorstep. And maybe there's a part of Miss Callender who that's like, do I even really know him? Like, who is Ripper? Like, do I even know the true Giles? I thought he was a sexy fuddy-duddy. Turns out he has a dark meth past. You know what I mean? Like, maybe that's what she's
doing. I don't know. I guess maybe she needs time. Like, I would like to see if like she totally loses complete interest. And I would say like, screw you. I don't know. People can change.
I hope,
he's obviously
I hope
changed.
She gets over it. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah. So he's like very bummed. He's like, I don't know if she'll ever forgive me. He is upset.
Yeah, but I like Buffy, the way she makes him feel better. She says, oh, I have great music for like our workout routine. And he goes, it's just meaningless sounds. And she goes, oh, don't you feel better?
Yeah. She's just trying to cheer him up. Look at that.
Yeah. I thought it was cute.
Yeah. They talk about what real music is. And that kind of reminds me of like my conversations with you. You're like, Journey. And I'm like,
I love Journey.
I'm like, let's listen to like Ariana Grande and like
Taylor Swift. I don't mind Ariana Grande. I like, the thing is like, I'm not against any of these people. Like, I understand Taylor Swift is like she is the artist. Like, she is the artist of this generation, of the of every generation, right? Like, she is what our generation will know as like what the Beatles were like. So like, I get it. I think she's talented. I think she just has a really a good knack for like creating songs that speak to people. I just am like, I don't keep up with modern music. Like, I really don't. I don't. It's not something I'm like actively seeking out all the time. So I fall behind, which is why I like a lot of 80s classic rock, because it doesn't change. It's there. It's always there. It's been there.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that was the episode, The Dark Age. What did you think of it, Sarah?
I really liked it.
Yeah, I thought it was a really, again, I was surprised to see that we got so much Giles backstory so like quickly after we got the first one. I'm really interested in getting more of it. I like it as like a diversion from, because this is the kind, I know why I had like harped on, oh, I miss Spike and Drusilla and all that in like an earlier episode. But if we're diverting from the main baddies for something like this, it feels so additive to our characters. You
right.
know?
But you like it when, if we're not with Drew and Spike, you like it when we're actually progressing our character's story.
Yeah, character development. Yeah.
You do not like it when we're fucking around with like hyenas.
No, I really fucking hate fucking around with hyenas and random like snake men. Like, yeah. I don't need it, you know?
Yeah. I still think that like I'm just here for the ride. And if you're going to give me like an episode with complete fuckery and stupidity, like fine. Like, let's do it. I'm fine by it.
Yeah.
So, but also it's like very common for me to be like, yeah, like kind of like mid with everything.
Yeah.
Nothing gets me going.
Yeah. I'm more like, I either love it or I hate it. And it's like rarely an in between. And if it's in between, it's even worse. Cause I hate being mad and stuff, you know?
Yeah.
All right, let's get into some feedback. We got an email from Tara. I think it's Tara. If it's Tara, please let me know. And they wrote, hi, I listen to a lot of Buffy rewatch podcasts and yours is quickly becoming one of my favorites. Oh, that's so kind. I'm excited for both of you to get through season two because it's my favorite season, though it's closely tied with season three as the best, in my opinion. I was pleasantly surprised both of you enjoyed the season premiere when she was bad. Often reviewers don't like it because Buffy is quote unquote mean to everyone, but I enjoy and appreciate having a main character go through some serious shit, but eventually making it out on the other side. Plus, SMG plays bitchy so well.
So well. I mean, like,
totally agree.
Once again, I always think to like Cruel Intentions, where like that character is incredible. And it's like really, really fun to see that side of Sarah Michelle Gellar.
Yeah, I totally agree. And Tara says, this premiere is my favorite out of the 7 premiere episodes, and I rewatch it a lot. Oh, that's interesting.
Ooh.
Thank you for covering Buffy and bringing some much needed laughter to my week. Well, thank you so much for writing in, Tara. And let me know, again, please let me know if I'm pronouncing
it. What happens if it's Tara? Like how I pronounce my name, Sarah, Tara.
Then I can't do that because I don't have your accent.
Why can't you? Just
Tara.
Try. Tara.
I'm putting on an accent when I do that. It's not my, like, the way my mouth
But, like,
works.
Tara, like, I don't think it's Tara.
It's either Tara or Tara. It could be Tara. You don't know.
Tara.
Either way, please let me know. And thank you so much for writing in. We love hearing from people, especially, like, if you're just joining us. Like, I love it. I love hearing that people have, like, binged back the backlog. We also have an email from Justin. All right, to begin, oh, no. I've held silent on your slandering of Xander, as he's deserved most of it. However, the slander of the Xander this past episode, I can't get behind. You two are coming at it from your current day POV. That's correct. Both of you are happily spoken for and probably aren't jealous. Incorrect. Sarah is a very jealous person.
I am a very jealous person. That's true.
But put yourself in his shoes. The girl you actually like and have a crush on, this guy who you have no idea about, comes into the picture suddenly. So this is from last episode. But Buffy knows him very well. Had a crush on him herself. a crush that now seems to be returning her advances. Wouldn't you be not only jealous, but a concerned friend as well, having absolutely zero knowledge of him? Angel also has some of those concerns and is later proven right. And yet Xander is still shit on. Okay, so I'm going to stop here. I'll pause down on the email. The difference in my opinion is I really hate the way Xander approaches it when he says things like, why can't Buffy have any fat friends? Like, it is like so rude and disrespectful. And on top of that, I feel like you should trust that your friend trusts the people they trust. You know what I mean? Like, if Buffy trusts this person, you should also extend that trust and respect. I just feel like Xander at this point needs to get over the fact that Buffy doesn't like him. Like, it's the side comments. You know what I mean? It's the comments from the peanut gallery that get under my skin.
I think for me, like, the reason why Angel did it better was that, like, he came to Willow with a position of being concerned. Like, he was clearly jealous, and admittedly so. Like, he admitted to being jealous.
Yeah. But he wasn't making snide comments to, like, Buffy about it, to my knowledge. Maybe he did, but.
But, like, he also, like, went to Willow and is like, I am concerned. This is why I'm concerned. Like, can you look into it? I think, like, for me, I think that, like, it's just going to be Xander's bit. And I think that, like, it's a thing. Like, it's a thing. I think, like, it's going to keep going like that until you find somebody else to be interested in. And that's just, and I think that, like, I don't know, I guess, like, that's how 90s teens, like, talked about crushes that they had on people.
Justin continues, I know I usually pick on Sarah because, let's face it, she set herself up to be an easy target with the toxicity of vampires, not caring about the lore, and her unacceptance of Daddy Giles. But Jess, I'm going to have to get on you some for your latest turn of not paying attention to the lore. Shame on you.
Yeah,
I'm
shame so on you.
I know. I really should be better. I should
shame
be better.
On you. Why didn't you take notes like I?
I mean, I had them in my head. You just started rattling them off and I didn't have to say anything. So it worked out.
You little bitch.
As for the date between Giles and Jenny, I actually think it would have gone better had Jenny dated him when he was Ripper. Ripper would have absolutely loved the monster trucks, but Giles, as he is now, didn't.
That's true. That's true. I feel like Ripper would probably love, like, anything. If it was like rock and roll, he would be all in.
Yeah. Justin says, I'm glad you're both enjoying this new side of Giles you've uncovered. Now you see why I said to wait, he will grow on you. And he has a question. Jess, you've been quiet on this for a couple episodes now, so I'm curious, where are you on your hope of werewolves? Is it dim? Did you give up? I've never given up on the hope for werewolves. We got, like, sort of zombies this episode. So, like, nothing is off the table, right? Like, I could totally still see werewolves being a thing.
Yeah, I think it's possible.
What if Oz is a werewolf?
Then it's so exciting. I'm so happy.
Justin says, I hope you ladies are ready. Strap yourselves in because there's a couple huge episodes coming after this one. The turnaround of the show begins now. Next season, we get introduced to my favorite character. I won't say any names, of course. Ooh, wow. Interesting. Did I forget to mention we're on the Hellmouth? There's plenty of everything for you. Just stay away from my beloved Spike and Drew. That's so funny.
I forgot they were on Hellmouth, actually.
We're always on Hellmouth. Yeah, I can't forget.
Yeah, I forgot. They didn't mention it.
No, they really needed to say it more times.
Yeah.
That's all the feedback we have. If you want to send in feedback, shit90spod@gmail.com, shit90spod.com if you want to send us in a voicemail. We love getting feedback from everyone, especially knowing that these next couple of episodes are going to be important. We want to hear your thoughts on them. So send it in. Sarah, do you want to know what next episode's title is?
What is next episode's title?
It is a part one. So I do want to say for people, we are covering parts one and two of these next couple episodes separately. That's what we were advised to do by a consultant. And so that is what we shall be doing. Okay. So season two, episode 9, What's My Line?
What's my line?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know.
I mean, it sounds like an acting thing, right? What's my line?
Yeah. Oh, is it like the school play? It's Cordelia starring in the school play.
We did that once before, remember? Or no, that was a talent show. Okay.
Yeah.
So maybe. That would be fun. I would love to see. Cordelia feels like she'd be a terrible actress.
Oh, no, she definitely would be, but she's auditioning for it without a doubt.
I would love that. So What's My Line part one is next week. Sarah, what's going on over at Whirlwind?
I mean, a lot of the same. So you can just check out what we're doing at Whirlwind Pods. But Jessica and I are having a good time covering Pretty Little Liars Original Sin.
It's so much fun. It's ridiculous and really fun to watch. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so go listen to that podcast. You can hear me on Talking Shit. We're finishing up season one of Schitt's Creek, so perfect time to jump on board and join us for that. And yeah, every week we have Buffy and Felicity coming out on Shit 90 Shows Taught Me, as well as some other bonus content, which we'll talk about more soon because it's almost June, which means another month of bonus content. I think that's about everything. So until next week, everyone, here endeth the lesson.
Just ask. Shit 90 Shows Taught Me.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.